I know that you would never call yourself this word. You would never say, I'm a slave, but you are. I was. The only freedom in the world, in the universe, can be found only in one man. His name is Jesus Christ.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello, everyone. We pray that you're having a great Monday, and we're so happy that you tuned in. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Submission to Masters, as he continues his study in the epistle of 1 Peter. So let's listen in.
That's how we walk in his and follow his steps. And then look at verse 22. It says, who committed how many sins? No sin. Now, we can't follow that example, can we? No. I mean, and I don't want to use the same example as I do all the time, but 820 proves it. You know what I'm saying? No. And so, you know, thank God we can go to Jesus, go to the Lord, and he forgives us if we sin. Amen? So who committed no sin, and something else though, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Deceit, in other words, the attempt, the deliberate attempt to deceive somebody. Jesus never deceived anyone at all. It says in Isaiah 53:9, it says, because he had done no violence, meaning he had never done wrong, the Messiah. He had never sinned. It says, nor was any deceit in his mouth. God will never lead you astray. The Holy Spirit will never lead you where you shouldn't go. Amen? Amen. And then he says, who, talking about Jesus now, when he was reviled, when he was insulted or slandered or abused, were the Christian slaves treated that way? You see how this is written? It's, they can identify to them. That's what this text is so powerful. He says, when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. And when he suffered, in other words, when he was violently abused, he did not threaten. He didn't retaliate. He didn't make any threats. Why? Well, Jesus is the perfect Son of God. Amen? He's the creator, the sustainer of all things. He holds this whole universe together. That's what I call power. He could have called 12 legions of angels to help him. Did he? No. He didn't use his power at all, loved one. It says in Isaiah 53:7, he was the Messiah. He will be oppressed. He will be afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. All the beatings, everything he went through, the scourging, he never opened his mouth. It says he was a lamb led to slaughter, as a sheep before the shears is silent. He opened not his mouth. If Jesus is going to be our example, then we have to consider him. It says in Hebrews 12:3, consider him. Remember that word consider? It means to pause, to think deeply, look deeply into the life of Jesus Christ. Look at his entire life. It says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, discouraged in your souls. Listen, can you imagine being God and coming to a planet? And did this planet welcome Jesus? No, John 1:10, he came to his own people. He came to his own creation, and they received him not. They didn't want him. They didn't want anything to do with him. You know what they did to Jesus when he came finally? Not only did they abuse him, not only did they insult him, not only did they spit upon him, not only did they pluck out his beard, they butchered him. They butchered our Savior. That's what man does. That's what sin does. That's what the power of darkness did. Loved one, listen, and without mercy, human hands, the hands of sinners, grabbed his body, laid him on a cross, and they crucified him and did so without mercy, without caring. And what did they do when he was up there? They gambled for his garment and waited for him to die. They could not care. But the Bible says that if we consider our Lord and his example, we must keep looking unto him. Amen? We need to keep looking at his life. He's our example. And when reviled, when Jesus was reviled in suffering, you know what Jesus did? I mean, just think, he could have wiped out everybody. And if it had been me, I would have wiped out everybody, okay? But Jesus didn't do that. When he was reviled, when he was insulted, when he was suffered wrongly, when he was being abused, look what he did. He committed himself to him, meaning God, who judges righteously or judges with perfect justice or fairly. Now listen, so Jesus, he didn't do anything wrong. What did he do? He does what we have to do. Lord, look what we're going through. But this is for the slave there. Think about it. He says, oh no, I know that in your heart, you're being beaten every day and it's wrong what they're doing to you. And he says, you're not wrong, but they're wrong. And he says, I want you to do something. I want you to submit this to God. I want you to give your case to the Lord and let him judge it. He'll take care of it. That's why Romans, Paul, when he penned Romans 12:19, is so powerful. He says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. That's, Jesus didn't avenge himself. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. You know what that means, give place to wrath? The reason we're not to give place to that anger is because God is already working behind the scenes for you. We don't have to avenge ourselves. It says, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I don't know what that means, but it can't be good. Do you understand? That's from Proverbs, by the way, that saying right here. And you know what? If you go read it, it'll say that if you do that, God will reward you. That's a deal. Amen? So Christ's submission is the highest example of submission in the entire universe. We're called to follow his steps. Now, I want you to look at verse 24 because this something is happening here. And this is another one of those scriptures that just so identified with the Christian slave as well. And you have to remember now that Peter, what he penned, he lived. In other words, did he know Jesus personally? Did he eat with Jesus, travel with Jesus? Did he see Jesus crucified? Did he see the empty tomb? Did he see Jesus risen from the dead? Amen? Yes. Did he see him ascended? Yes. All of those things. He remembers that. And look what he says. He's remembering the cross, loved one. And he says in verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That word tree means, of course, the cross. Now, he alone and no one else could do that. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. He had no sin. But here's what I want you to see. That word bore literally means to carry up like an offering. When he was lifted up from the cross, like he said, I'll draw all men unto me. But our sins were lifted up and placed upon our Lord. Amen? All of our sin, every bit of our sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:12, he bore or literally carried off forever our sin. Praise God for that. So Jesus, our substitute, Jesus took our punishment, our place, and he paid our penalty, didn't he? The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And not only that, loved one, the Bible says in 1 John, I believe it is chapter 3, verse 5, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, carry our sin away, and in him there is no sin. Now watch what happens here. That we, it says, having, that's past tense, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness by whose stripes you're healed. Now, Jesus died that we might have live for the right kind of way, righteousness meaning God's righteousness, right living. Jesus came that we might have life, John 10:10, and have it more abundantly. Amen? Now, did you know that when Jesus died, he took your place? He died as you and for you. Amen? On the cross. That's very important. Well, if you died, that means that your death, it means that all of your debts, legal debts, are they canceled? Well, you can't pay them. I know you're smarter than that, right? No, you can't pay them. You're gone. You're in heaven, okay? Now, we'll see. We died that we might live, it says, having died. Well, when did we die? Again, with Christ. What happened to Jesus physically on the cross happened to us legally. Does that make sense? So that's why the Bible teaches us. It says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes, and this goes for us as well. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm not seeking to be crucified. I'm not trying to live the crucified life. I'm dead. I have been crucified. If you've been crucified, you're dead. Amen? Okay. Now, so I've been crucified with Christ. It says, it is no longer I who live. I don't live for self anymore. I don't live for Bill anymore. It's no longer I who live. I'm dead. I died on the cross with our Lord. When he rose from the dead, I rose from the dead. Now it says, but Christ lives in me in the life that I now live in the flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh with all of its problems, with all of its troubles, the ups and the downs, the mountaintop experiences and all of the valleys. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God. The Bible tells us four times in the Bible that the just shall live by faith. And he says, who loved me, thank you, Jesus, and who gave himself for me. See, we're to live now for the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, for Jesus died for all, that those who live, are we alive? Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. That's who we live for. Look at that at verse 24 again at the end. Might live for righteousness. Listen, God offers himself and he offers the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17, I believe it is. The gift of righteousness to everyone who places their trust in Christ. It's a gift that God has given unto him. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, meaning God, it says, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Loved one, that is incredible. Do you know that you have been imputed into your account? There was a real death, okay? Jesus, our real Savior. And listen, God treated Jesus in that passage I just quoted as if he had sinned all the sins of the world, but he didn't. He's sinless. He put the sin upon him. And there was a real death upon the cross, but there was also a real transfer of our sin to the cross. That's called imputation, okay? So he took what belongs to someone else and put it into our account, which is the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus. And look what he says there at the end of verse 24 again. He says, by whose stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. Now listen. I know that when those Christian slaves, when they read this, it moved them. I mean, it had to have, because their mindset was different than our mindset when we read it, okay? And so look at it again. By whose stripes? That word stripes literally means bruise. If you look that word up in the Greek, it would literally mean this, a bloody whale or a ridge, if you will, which rises up bloody after a horrible, horrible blow, the lictor's lash, okay, the scourging. Now, so when Peter, when he saw the body of Jesus after Jesus was scourged, okay, listen, the word that Peter used here is the word that is a picture of our Lord, if you will, after the scourging. Let me read what it actually means in the Greek, okay, about that. This word. It means that the Lord's flesh was so disfigured, he looked like one single bloody bruise. Do you see how a Christian slave identified just then? And I went, oh Lord. See, in context again, yes, all Christian, but in context to Christian slaves, and only God the Father knows as these Christian slaves read this letter and saw those words. I'm telling you, it was only then, I mean, the effect that must have been upon them when they read, by those stripes you're healed. You know, a lot of times, you know, we've all been guilty of saying, well, you know, by his stripes we're healed, because meaning sickness. God is a healer. Amen. And we know he's healed many people here at Calvary. He's healed me, Becky, so many. He's a healer. But in this verse, he's talking about the worst disease in all the world that we've been healed from, okay? He's not talking about a physical healing. He's talking about our spiritual healing, if you will. And the reason I know that is because the verb in our text here in verse 24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed, it is past tense. And in the Greek, it means it's a completed action, an accomplished fact. Well, that would mean that we would never be sick ever. Does that make sense? But we do get sick, and if we are, we run to the elders of the church and pray ye one for another that you might be healed. Amen? Okay, now with all of that saying, what is he telling us then? What was healed? Our sin. What does that mean? It means that your salvation, our salvation, is eternally secure forever and ever and ever and ever. It says in Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. There's that word. For our iniquities. That's the bent in our nature. I'm going to sin no matter what. Okay? The chastisement of our peace was upon Christ, and by his stripes, you're healed. Thank God that we're healed. Amen? The blood, the priest, remember in Hebrews 10:11-12, the priest would stand daily, repeatedly offering sacrifices, the blood of bull and goats, which can never take away sin. Amen? It says, though, but this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and may I add, and endures forever, sat down at the right hand of God. What does that mean? Our salvation is complete, our salvation is finished, and it is certain and sure and guaranteed forever. Jesus is the surety, the guarantee of the new covenant. Amen? Now, it says in verse 25, for you were, you're not anymore, but you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. So without Jesus, loved one, listen, we're just like sheep. And we are sheep, but we're like sheep that are continually wandering helplessly in a helpless world that can never, ever help us. Matter of fact, if you don't know Christ, you know what? From the womb to the tomb, they say, that's all you're doing. You're wandering through this world, amen? And so forth. So sheep, they're just wandering. You know why sheep wander? Why they leave and run away from the flock and all of that? Sheep, they don't have a homing instinct. They don't know how to get home. A dog? I tell you what, I have an armadillo that's tearing up my yard. He's going to go home to Jesus tonight. I've been trying to get him for about 2 weeks. But this morning when I left, I wish Becky hadn't shown me. She said, look at the front yard. Oh, I don't know why I told you that. He has a home, that armadillo, he's met his match. Lord, I don't want to even think about that. I'm teaching your word right now. Listen, sheep, they don't have a homing instinct. A dog, a dog can find its way home. You know, a cat, who wants a cat? I'm sorry. You know, we have a feral cat. Every morning he shows up, or she shows up. She probably doesn't weigh, but maybe up 2 pounds, but her fur is like this. I mean, just sticks straight out. She's a wild, she won't come near you at all, but she, and this is a true story. You know what she does to get fed? Every morning and every evening, she comes up to the back door and she gets her tail and she, no, I don't tell lies. She knocks on the door over and over and over and until you feed her. And you know what I mean? Isn't that wild? I'm going to get rid of her too. No, I. So they don't have a homing instinct. Listen, why? Sheep need a shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. Oh, yes. Listen, you know what about sheep is? See, it takes a shepherd to find the sheep. Only a shepherd can find the sheep, and only the shepherd can take the sheep back home. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father. No one gets home without me. He is our shepherd. And look at these two beautiful words that Peter uses for God here, the Lord Jesus. He says, the shepherd, that a shepherd protects us, feeds us, watches over us. The shepherd and what? overseer, the one who guards us, the one who watches us, overseer of our souls. The Bible says in Psalm 103, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Jesus said in John 11, he says, I am, one of the I ams of God, sayings of Jesus, I am not a good shepherd, I am the, meaning I am the only good shepherd. Amen? And I give my life, I lay my life down for the sheep. John 10, 27 says, Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice. He says, and I know who they are. I know them. And they follow me. Jesus' sheep follow the Lord. We are to follow in his footsteps. Amen? That's what we are to do. Did you know that every unsaved person really is a lost sheep wandering in the wilderness of this world, looking for life, looking for whatever life means. You know what? If you look and study out Jesus, Jesus is not only the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He's also the great shepherd, Hebrews 13, 20, the great shepherd who was raised from the dead for the sheep. But he's also something else. In 1 Peter 5, 4, it says, Jesus is the chief shepherd who's coming back for us. Amen? He's coming back again for sheep. He's coming to take us home. He's preparing a place for us right now. You know, I want you to listen to me. Those that are listening on the radio right now, those that are listening live across the nations or wherever you are in this chapel, if you don't know Jesus, you're lost. You're lost. It's just that simple. You know, listen to me. It was because of Adam there in the garden. He wanted freedom from God, and he got it. And boy, listen to me. His independence was lost, and when his freedom was lost, you know what happened? All of our freedoms, of mankind's freedoms from them unto this moment, was lost as well. Amen? Oh, that's a horrible thing. And ever since Adam, you know what's happened to mankind? There's been a 10,000 different masters that leads them here and leads them there, the devil and all the rest of it, loved one. There is only freedom available, only freedom, one freedom available to man. And it's only found in one man, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not found anyplace else. See, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, I know that you would never call yourself this word. You would never say, I'm a slave. But you are. But you are. I was. The only freedom in the world, in the universe, can be found only in one man. His name is Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can remove a person's chains, if you will, if we look at it like that, and set you free. See, Jesus doesn't make slaves. Oh, if I come to Jesus, my whole world, man, listen, I don't need that kind of stuff. Yes, you do. Jesus doesn't make slaves. Jesus frees the slaves. He frees you. He sets you free. Therefore, if the Son of God, if he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? Totally free. Think about it. I mean, totally free. And how did that happen? We learned it in 1 Peter, 1:18 and 19. That we were not redeemed, we were not bought, we were not purchased. We're a bought people, we're a purchased slave, amen? We're slaves of God. We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from this aimless life that came from the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without spot, cleansed all of our sin. So either you're a slave of the world, a slave of the devil, a slave to a life, a slave to a world that's passing away, and it's going to pass away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if you're a slave, you don't know Christ, this morning as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, you can right now. Just think, you can literally be set free and born again and your sins carried away forever, forever, if you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord.
Pastor Bill will continue this series in 1 Peter on tomorrow's program. and we hope you'll tune in once again. Amen? We appreciate you spending some of your day with us, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.